Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I'm happy to be here with Daniel Lim. That's how you say it. Say, I'm Daniel Lim.
No, I don't say I'm Daniel.
I'm happy to be here with Daniel Lim.
Yeah, I say my name is Daniel.
My name is Daniel Lim.
Yeah, because it's true. Because my last name is weird.
I think it's weird when people say my name is Pastor Ed Stetzer, because that's not your name. Your name is, or my name is Dr. Ed Stetzer. If I were to say it, I think that's weird. I hear people say it all the time. Hi, my name, if they just say I'm Pastor Ed Stetzer, that's both a title and a name, but don't say my name is Pastor, right? I don't know. My name is Slim Shady. Anyway, what do I
know? See, I have the dilemma though, because my last name is M. So just add an apostrophe and it's I'm. So it sounds weird when I say I'm Daniel M.
Oh, I never thought about that. Do you ever use your full name?
Not kind of publicly. Sanggi, my Korean name, it's usually just my family that calls me that.
Does your family, like, because in that context, that's what we would call a first name. It's not a family name. It's a surname. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no, Sanggi, I mean, it's officially my middle name and my Korean name, but it's, yeah. So officially,
so
it's
my middle name. Do you use that name?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so the surname is the hereditary name. It's not your surname. No. What would be your surname or your family surname?
M.
Oh, M. Okay. All right. So it is. All right. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense.
Now,
okay,
my mom. I'm learning new things. My mom has an even a greater dilemma because her name is Sunim M. So Sun M M.
Oh my! Yeah, that's tricky.
So I don't think. Yeah, we just don't say I'm. Anyway, okay. So today, all that aside, we have a question from Percy. I'm not going to play the question from Percy because it's just way too distorted, and I think it's going to be more of a distraction than anything. So I'm going to.
I'm assuming you're meaning like the sound is, yes. Not the actual question is distorted.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Sorry, Percy.
So I'm going to read the question for Percy. Here it is. How do you measure the success of a new church plant within the first 4 to 6 months?
Yeah, and I think it's a great question. And I think the timing is a little tricky because. To me, there are, let's think in terms of phases, right? The ideation phase is, we'll put that out. There's kind of the two big phases, core or launch team development, and then going public. Mm-hmm. And you do core or launch team development for 3 to 9 months. And the reason I say 3 to 9 months is it's generally built on the idea that there's a going public at some point. Mm-hmm. And typically going public is going to take place in the fall or the spring, sometimes in the winter, depending on where you live. So the point being is that if I start in May, I'm not going to start having services in June when people are on vacations. So I'm not going to have them in July. I'm not going to have them in August. So it might be September and probably mid-September. So if I'm starting, let's say in April even, I'm 5 months. So that's why I say 3 to 9 months. So the sweet spot could be 6 months. So, but if you're going to start a church in September, it's great to start in March, your core group and your launch team development. So think in terms of 3 to 6 month prep work, then going public. So where this person talked about is how do you measure success at 4 to 6 months? I would say it depends where you are in the launch cycle.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you're and let's say right now, right? So if you've got a plan, now you're going to go public in September, which I'm hoping, a lot of places you can still do. This is a great time to be a church plant. It's not a great time to be a big church. Mm-hmm. Great time to be a church plant. So let's say you're beginning to do something at a place where you can have public worship in September. And if that's 4 to 6 months from now and you have a core group, depending upon your community, if you're in New Hampshire, it's different than Missouri, some more receptive spot. So then you're sort of building toward that launch. And so if you're listening in August, you got a month away, you're going to start having public services in September, you run in 15, 20, 30, I don't know, Missouri, maybe more people, and you're looking towards a fall beginning, I think 4 to 6 months, you're in a good place. 4 to 6 months, you should be either having started public worship And then if you start a public worship, people ask, well, what numbers would I want? A lot of depends on where you are.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you start a public worship in Maine or Vermont, New Hampshire, the most unchurched region in the country is that, you know, very northeast. And you're 4 or 6 months in and you've started service and you got 50 people coming on a regular basis, that'd be a big church plant in a whole lot of places. Mm-hmm. It might be different if you're in a growing community in Florida as well. You know, so what I would say is it's hard for us to quantify. You know, Daniel's Canadian, I'm American. The numbers would be very different from the US to Canada. Matter of fact, when I go to Canada to speak, I specifically avoid mentioning the size of the churches that I planted and how they grew numerically, because it's just not, and this is, you know, this kind of Americans often do this. Well, you know, I planted a church and, I planted a church and it grew to 200 people in 3 years. And you just discourage a whole lot of people in Halifax who, that's just not an experience that most people will ever have. Mm-hmm. So you have to scale those things into the appropriate context. So we don't know those details. So let me just talk generically. I would like at 4 or 6 months to be in public worship or near public worship. I would like within 4 to 6 months to have a handful of small groups already meeting and multiplying. I would like to have within 4 to 6 months a handful of leaders that I'm mentoring and raising up. And I would like to have a size of a core group, a launch team, or a public worship that would be appropriate for the church plants that I've seen in that region and community.
Yeah, I love that, Ed, because you've distinguished this sense of phases when planting a church. So the whole idea of the 4 to 6 months is, are you talking about 4 to 6 months since, you know, from the beginning of recruiting a launch team, 4 to 6 months since, you know, from being approved and assessed after being assessed as a church planter, 4 to 6 months or 4 to 6 months since launching. So I'm glad you made that distinction because success after you get assessed and as you're preparing your launch team looks different than what success would be when you plant a church. The other thing is, you know, I'm going to take it one level further, is it's not just the city and the state where you're planting, but it's also where in your city and socioeconomically to whom you are reaching in your city and who God has called you to, right? So even when I think about a city like Edmonton, Greater Edmonton, about 1.3 million people, depending on where you plant in our city, socioeconomically, it's going to look different. So then you have the whole side of, okay, what does sustainability look like? So as it relates to success, oftentimes, yes, we go to the numbers, but a 100 people in a low socioeconomic context may not actually allow you to be sustainable financially if you are full-time. But 100 people in a high socioeconomic area, you may actually be able to have 2 full-time staff. So it really is that sense of, okay, success. What is success? And I'm so glad that you talked about it from the perspective of movement, right? How many leaders do you have? Do you have groups that are reproducing? Do you have that trajectory? Because my sense is from organizations, churches, denominations, others who are supporting you financially, as long as you can prove that forward movement and that you are reaching people with the gospel and there is that, then there tends to be a little bit more flexibility around funding versus just stagnation.
Yeah, let me add too that one of the things that I found helpful was when I came to an area, I needed to get realistic expectations because all the people that go to, all the people that speak at conferences are just not a good comparison to you. So for example, you know, you go to conferences. I remember one person saying, you know, I would just preach through the book of Leviticus and 1,000 people came. And I'm like, yeah, well, I know the rest of that story. Yeah. And it wasn't quite like 1,000 people showed up on the book of Leviticus.
And it was in a particular area of the country that was pretty saturated too. So,
and hundreds of people came anyway, not to go into all that kind of stuff, but you know, so what happens is you go to these conferences and they give you an unrealistic depiction. I called it before ministry pornography. It's an unrealistic depiction of an experience you're never going to have that distracts you from the real and amazingly glorious thing. And I think, well, I want to be like that. And so what you need, you want to know what a successful church plant looks like in your community, is find communities like yours, near yours, that have, and find who's planted churches there, see what went well, learned also what didn't go well, and then kind of set your goals. And I think it's good to set goals. It's ultimately the Lord's hands. But it's good to set goals. So when I went to Erie, Pennsylvania, my denomination didn't have any large church plants, and we wanted to launch large. And so the so with the kind of situation we were in, because of how we didn't have examples of my own denomination, I actually called. The Methodists had done something. It might have been the Wesleyans. I don't know that I knew. I don't remember. But they had launched a church that had over 200 at the first service. That was kind of the thing when I was doing this in mid-90s. So we found out a couple of communities like ours. So I said, okay, that's going to be our goal. It wasn't my denomination's goal because my denomination had not done well in planting churches in that region at the time. So, but I didn't have a goal of 500 because that would be, to quote the most important film of our generation, inconceivable. And so for us, we intentionally then kind of prepared our goals based upon what similar communities, similar plants, similar resources. And then there was, you know, we were looking at the best, and we wanted to be among the best. We wanted to do it really well. So it wasn't just casually, well, you know, no one does this well, so we're not going to do it. But it just keeps me from making, I have people had, you know, goals. I'm going to have 500 people in Maine. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, perhaps I'm going to email you and say, Ed Stetzer is not trusting the Lord in faith. Okay. I want to trust the Lord in faith. I think I'm trusting the Lord in faith. But I think that we've got to intentionally and strategically make our goals, not pipe dreams.
Yeah. I love that. Love that. Awesome. So if you have a follow-up question on this or would like us to go a different direction or elaborate on one thing or another, then just send in a question like Percy did. And whether it's distorted or not, the audio quality will be sure
to... Yes, not you, Percy.
Yeah, we'll be sure to get to it because this was a great question. You can just go to newchurches.com if you're on your computer and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your phone, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, send a voicemail, and we would love to answer your question. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.